Today we're going to take a little journey down memory lane. Do you remember back in the 70s, there was this TV commercial where this little boy goes to this wise old owl and he asks the unanswerable question, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? And the owl convinces the boy at first that that question has no answer, but the boy persists. And the boy holds his Tootsie Pop up to the owl, who grabs it, licks it 3 times, crushes it with his beak, and swallows it, returning the empty stick to the boy. And the owl answers 3. Now, of course, to a 10-year-old, this question requires an answer. So how many of us went out and got Tootsie Pops and started licking them and trying to figure out how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? Well, today we're going to go a little deeper than that. I'm going to ask you another unanswerable question, but I think we can come up with some answers. And that is, how many women does it take to ruin a man's life? Now, I know you guys are going to jump to conclusions. You're going to think you know the answers, but I guarantee you there's more to this than meets the eye. So let's talk about it. This is Life 2.0. So here's another little trip down memory lane for you. Do you remember the Pina Colada song? You know, if you like Pina Coladas, getting caught in the rain. I'm not doing that justice, but it was a popular song back in the day. And it was the story about a guy who is stepping out on his girl, and he posts a personal ad in the local newspaper. Very quaint. No pictures, no internet, just a personal ad where he writes this little poem and waits for a response. And of course, the response comes from his girlfriend. He doesn't know it's her. They show up at some restaurant or something to meet, and they discover each other, and it's all sweet and loving. I didn't know you like pina coladas, getting caught in the rain. Yeah, that's not the way it really goes. But that's what we've been taught. That's what we believe. You know, that was the propaganda getting pumped into our brains all that time. And that's sort of my point here, you know. We all got sucked into it. You know as well as I do that if something like that happened in real life, let's say it happened to you or to me, and you show up at that meeting to find out little Miss Pina Colada lady, and she's your woman, oh man, there's gonna be some hell to pay in that moment. Like, what the hell are you doing posting personal ads? You're not happy with our situation? You don't like what you're getting from me? You're going on the street trying to get something? Oh my God, it would blow up into a full-blown nuclear war right there in the restaurant. There'd be plates being thrown. There'd be waiters ducking. You know, you would be running for your life. But not in the song. No, in the song, man. It's all good. It's all good. I didn't know you liked pina coladas, baby. If I'd known that, everything would have been different. So the propaganda machine works really, really well. It has convinced us all that in some way, finding a woman, finding a loving relationship with a woman, is going to take us to the places that we need to go. It's going to enlighten us. It's going to complete us. Yeah, it's like in Jerry Maguire, you complete me. Well, as I have given it some thought, I have come to the conclusion that there's something much darker going on here than what we recognize. And it's not intentional on anyone's part. Don't get me wrong. I'm not blaming anyone for the Pina Colada song. It's not a giant conspiracy or anything. But within each of us, there is something very, very dark. And I think we need to go to that place in order to find the answers here. All right, let's go down here. Come on. So frequently when I talk to guys after they've gone through serious breakups, they turn to alcohol, some to drugs. Other guys try to fill it with gambling. You know, of course, you've got internet porn. We've got any number of vices, eating, overeating, junk food eating, any number of vices that we can use to fill that space that was once occupied by a woman. Lots and lots and lots of guys, especially after a divorce, the first thing they want to do, find another woman. And They're trying again to fill that void. What I find fascinating is that finding another woman is on par in many ways. There's an equilibrium here with all these other substances, you know, these other activities, drugs, alcohol, pornography, gambling, risky behaviors, overeating, all these things fall into the same category. And then you have finding another woman. And I started to do the math and started thinking, well, maybe there's some, you know, equality here between these dangerous activities, these self-destructive activities, and having a woman in our lives. And as I started to go back into my own, you know, personal history and trying to sort through my, you know, adolescent psychology and what caused me to seek out so many women at an early age and to have a woman in my life for such a long time, really from about, you know, pre-adolescent all the way up until my mid-50s, I had some woman in my life almost all the time. I mean, just all the time. I mean, I thought it was normal. But as I'm talking about it and talking to other guys, they're like, dude, I don't know what life you live, but that's nothing like my life. I mean, I think I have lived with 1, 2, 3, 4 different women at different times during my life. And I spent 20 years with one, you know? So all those other ones were pretty short-term, you know, relationships. But they got there. You know, I had affairs with, I think, 3 different women at my office. You know? And then I was the manager of a pizza joint for a few years, and I had affairs with several of the women there, you know? Anyway, I stop and wonder, what is driving this? Is it just pure horniness? Is that it? Is that all it is? It's just biological procreation? Is that it? Or is there something more going on here? And I think there is, unfortunately, something more going on here. I think within each one of us, there is a lot of genetic, hormonal, and social programming that drives us to seek women. But I believe also there is something else. I think there is a deeper sense of acceptance that we're looking for frequently. And when we find it in the arms of a woman, we think that we have in some way arrived. Like we have been socially accepted into the world of human beings. And that's unfortunate. I think this happens to a lot of us, especially from my generation, because the way children were raised back in my time is completely different from the way children are raised now. Now, I don't know which is right. You know, I'm not a child psychologist, but I do know that my kids had a much more loving environment with a lot more affection and support and all that stuff than I did. You know, and me and my sister, we grew up in a time when literally we would be locked out of the house during the day on purpose. My mother would be inside the house alone. We were outside the house and the door was locked. Like we were not allowed in. Like if you had to pee, she said, you just go pee in the bushes. If you want some water, there's a hose, get some water. You know, you could be let in to do a number 2 if you could prove it, you know? You had to actually show some evidence that there was a number 2 in the pot. But my point is that I'm being a little hyperbolic there, but my childhood was fine. I didn't have any problems with it while it was happening. It seemed totally normal to me, and it was like what every other kid's childhood was like. So it wasn't like I was some kind of a neglected kid or something. But the era of raising children back then, and I think probably going back for quite some time, was one where the value of children in the lives of families was not nearly as high as it is today. Like we were not considered, at least I never felt it, like we were a special value, like we were important to the family. I mean, I didn't feel like we were neglected, like I said, but I certainly didn't feel like my kids did. You know, my kids were definitely, you know, little princes and princesses, and we took care of them and we took them to all their games and bought them all the stuff that they needed. Now, my mom was born in post-World War II Europe, 1946, and we have forgotten, I think, what that was like. There was, even though Scotland was where she was born, was not a devastated area, like, you know, a lot of areas in Germany and Italy and France, but the knockoff effects were still very real. So the shortage of food, meat in particular, was something very, very common. And anyway, my mom's mother, so my maternal grandmother, died when my mom was like 2 or 3 years old, and my mom had to go and live with some relatives during that time. I think she had an older sister who was, you know, like 17, 18 years older than her, and she had a young family, and so she took on my mother for the next 3 or 4 years until my grandfather was able to remarry. So during that time, I know that she probably did not receive anywhere near even the level of nurturing and care that I received as a kid, you know? And like I just described, we weren't especially, you know, well treated in terms of by today's standards. And I sort of wonder if that played a role in her not being very loving and nurturing throughout our lives. And I don't know, you know, I'm not gonna point my finger at my mother and say she's responsible for my desire to have a woman in my life, but I think that there is something there, you know, there's some kind of a link there, and I can't figure it out necessarily, but absolutely there seems to be a link, because really almost from my earliest ages, I mean, even at age like 9 and 10, I was looking for girlfriends. I remember even younger than that, there was a little girl that would come over to the house with her parents from time to time, and they would joke around that she was our, you know, we were boyfriend and girlfriend. And sure enough, we would kiss. I mean, we were like 3 or 4 years old and we were kissing, you know, like what the hell is that? Anyway, it was cute, whatever. But I sort of wonder if that doesn't get in our heads at some point, you know, if somewhere along the way, the idea that we were okay, just the way we are, without anything extra, without adding another person to our lives, that we are complete and whole and capable of living fulfilling lives without adding a woman, never really sunk in, never even occurred to me. Never, that concept was so foreign that it didn't even exist in my mind. And I think that's the way it is for most men. Especially, like I said, for my generation, the concept that we would go through lives as bachelors was just impossible. It was unacceptable. It was something that was not even on the agenda.
32 minutes.
So
4 seconds per mile.
I wonder if that doesn't push us in some way to seek out the comfort of women, even when maybe we know deep down inside that she's not exactly the right one for us. You know what I mean? Like somehow we think we're just gonna figure it out. We're gonna make it work. You know, I think that men are very resourceful and we have a lot of confidence in our ability to fix things and do things and to accomplish things. And so we look at a woman in a lot the same way we would look at, you know, like a car that needs a little extra TLC. You know, you need to put a new carburetor on it, change the spark plugs, you know, whatever. You think that you can fix it. You think you can make this thing work. And so we jump in kind of wholeheartedly on the outside and only half-heartedly on the inside because we're thinking, I really don't know what the fuck I'm doing here. You know, I don't know if this is the right thing or not. She seems all excited about it, so I'm just going to go along with this, see how it goes. Yeah, and unfortunately, I think we all pay a really, really huge price for that. So if you've ever abused drugs or alcohol or some other substance, then you know that really what you're trying to do with that is you're trying to give yourself an excuse for not thinking about the things that you need to think about. You don't want to face whatever it is that needs facing in your life at that time. I remember as a young person, I drank a lot. I mean, all of our social events, and this is from my friends too, they centered around alcohol. Everything we did centered around alcohol. And that went on for probably a decade of my life until my son came into my life. Then the alcohol stopped. But having beer at an event or planning an event meant that we were going to stop and get some beer or we were going to go to a bar or something. There was some alcohol was going to be involved in this. And I think that all of us were sort of lost in our lives at that time. We didn't know where we were going. We didn't know really what we wanted. We had some vague ideas to where we were going, but the concept of facing the reality of our situation just seemed a little overwhelming. We were all kind of fucking up in college. We weren't doing that well. I think by the end of that, I remember that first year, I was a junior. Most of my friends were put on academic probation. Some of them didn't even come back, you know? Back in those days, didn't matter how much you were paying the school. If you were a screwball, they just threw you out. These days, they will find a way to keep you in there because they want your money. But they just threw you out. So we were, like I said, trying to avoid the reality of the fact that we were in college supposed to be learning something. We weren't really learning anything. I think all of us on some level were a little too smart for for this crap. It didn't seem like we were actually getting anything tangible or useful out of it. And it seemed like a huge waste of time. There's pressure on you to perform well because either you're paying for it yourself, or you've got a loan, so you think you've got to get something out of it. Everyone's asking you what you're going to do with your life, and you're trying to give them some kind of an answer that sounds reasonable. That's why so many of my friends went into the military, because it was something that they knew they could do. It's like, well, I know I can go in the Marine Corps. They will take me. They're just looking for bodies right now. This was back in the 80s, in the early to mid 80s. They were just looking for bodies, So it was easy getting in. It didn't matter what your ASVAB was. If you scored low on the ASVAB, that just meant they handed you a rifle. you are at the front. Congratulations, you're the leader. But today, as I see guys now going through the experience of separating and getting a divorce and coming to terms with being on their own for the first time, perhaps in their entire lives, they spiral. They go into this dark place where they have to come to terms with the fact that they are on their own. And they struggle with that because they've never felt like they could be complete without someone else in their lives. And I think this is where divorce gets us. This is the most expensive part of divorce. It's not just the money. The money is expensive, but it's the emotional and psychological toll it takes on you during that initial, say, 6 months to 2 years for a lot of guys. And it's during this critical time that so many guys fall into a pit of despair that they never really recover from. They stay in that place to some degree, even if they're able to get past the substance abuse and past, going out with women, and you finally get to a place where you're okay living on your own. The anger and resentment and hatefulness that you have inside you for the experience, because it was so devastating to you, and the way you hold your ex accountable or responsible for it, is just as destructive as the drugs and alcohol that you may have leaned on following the initial separation. So in order to move yourself past that, it's really, really critical that you have a process, that you have a way of pulling yourself out of that pit of despair. Because the longer you stay there, the harder it is to get out of it. I was fortunate that I had my two daughters with me, So they created a sense of responsibility that I did not have the luxury to be a disaster, It was like when I got custody of my son when I was 25, I no longer had the luxury to be an alcoholic. I had to be mature and responsible in that moment. So I was very, very fortunate to get pulled from my self-destructive tendencies because of my sense of responsibility for my kids. If you don't have the luxury of that, if you don't have your kids with you, and if you're estranged from them, worst case scenario, and perhaps this divorce has even made that situation even worse, well, then it's super, super difficult to pull yourself out of that pit. Getting some counseling, you can talk to me. I've got coaching you can sign up for, and I can certainly talk you through it. Getting, someone like BetterHelp or someone like that. This isn't an ad for them, but I would certainly recommend that you seek someone out. You've got to go through that process of rebuilding your life from the ground up, brick by brick, and you've got to do it consciously and intentionally. And if you take that approach, you can build something wonderful. You can build a life that you really, really enjoy. The problem is getting out of bed on that very first day and deciding which brick you're going to lay. Because sometimes that first brick just feels way too heavy to even to lift. It just feels like it's just too big a lift and you just can't do it. And it can take weeks or months or years before you get around to actually picking that thing up and laying it down and saying, this is who I am, this is where I'm going, this is what I'm going to do, this is my life, I'm going to own it. It's not an easy thing to do. It really isn't. I have not dated for a while. Every year around Thanksgiving, I will purchase a subscription to at least one, maybe two dating apps. This last year, I accidentally clicked the 6 month subscription rather than the 3 month, and I regretted it, but I didn't cancel it. I just let it run. I didn't really go on the app very often. I'd get notifications if somebody liked me or whatever. but I didn't see anything that really caught my attention until yesterday. Last night, sitting on the toilet, sorry for the visual, guys, sitting on the toilet, got my phone, and OkCupid sends me a little note saying, Julie likes you. I'm like, okay, let's check Julie out. And damn, if she's not cute. Like, she's really, really pretty. Now, she's a little taller than me, but that's okay. But she was definitely hot. She was young, not too young. I think she's like 40, you know, so being 60, 40 is young to me. Very pretty, you know, great personality, it seemed like. She had a full profile. She had filled out all of her stuff, had interests that seemed interesting to me. The whole thing. The whole thing was attractive. The whole package seemed like, well, that's at least worth a shot. You know, I don't know if that's necessarily going anywhere, but it's definitely worth a shot. And then the more I sat there, I thought, well, do I really want that in my life? Like, really, do I really want to add another person to this situation? Because right now, everything's really going well, you know? I mean, I've got these wonderful little routines. I'm very much a guy of routine. Like, I eat the same thing every day. I get up at the same time. Doesn't matter what time I go to bed. I'm waking up at 6:30. You know, I went to bed last night at 1 a.m. Woke up this morning at 6:30 and thought, God damn it, why can't I just sleep in? But routines, I'm just that guy. I just, routine. They work for me. They keep me working out. They keep me going for walks. They keep me making videos. They keep me eating healthy. All these routines work. I no longer have to think about stuff. Adding little Julie to my world would screw up my routines. Not that I'm becoming obsessive compulsive, you know, about my routines, but the idea of adding this other human being, despite the fact that she was an attractive woman who might have been, you know, someone that I would enjoy hanging out with, it's like, ah, I don't want to go through all that. It just feels like it's all just too much energy. The reason I tell you this story is because 6 years ago, I would have been all over that shit, man. I would have been all over it. Like, I would have been clicking on that thing and sending her a text message before that message got cold. Do you know what I mean? I would have been in there, setting up an appointment, setting up a date with Julie right away. Today, I just don't see it coming. You know, I just don't see that happening. I didn't delete it, you know, last night. I thought, I'm just going to sleep on that. And I woke up this morning and thought, that just seems like so much work. You know, I just don't have that in me anymore. I think that when you get to the place where I'm at now, when you're like, take it or leave it, and really leave it unless it's just like good timing, like everything falls together perfectly, all the pieces fit, then maybe. But if you're at a place where you feel like there's something missing in your life, that's an indication that the only thing that's missing in your life is your belief that something, that you need something. Maybe I should have said that the wrong way. I said that the wrong way. What the problem is that you believe that something's missing. There is nothing missing from your life. You are 100% complete. So long as you go around thinking that something's missing, that you need alcohol, you need drugs, you need a woman, you need to gamble, you need to do something to distract yourself from the reality that you're living in. So long as you're in that place, you're vulnerable to screwing up your life even worse. And the only way you're going to get it back is when you are completely at ease and comfortable in your own skin, living your life authentically from your perspective, and your life is complete. When you get to that place as a single man, then women coming and going from your life are no longer critical. It's no longer important. It doesn't matter. If she's there, that's wonderful. If she's not, that's wonderful too. You're no longer looking for something. It's like if you go out with a bunch of friends and someone says, hey, do you want a beer? I'll have a beer, but not because I need a beer. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need a beer to loosen up. If I want to have a beer, I'll have one. But if I don't, I'll have a Coke or something. You know, I don't need to have something to loosen up. I don't need something to complete me. I don't need, you know, to gamble. I don't even need pornography, really. You know, it's just like, it's just all these external things that are distracting us from our real mission, you know? And the real mission is you being the best guy that you can be and living the best life that you can live. And if that happens to incorporate living with a woman, because that's authentically who you are, and you believe that's in your DNA, that's the guy you are, you're the guy that has, you know, supports a woman, lives with a woman, has a partner, whatever, then you need to be complete without her first and then find her. Do not use her to fill that gap, that hole in your soul, from whatever it is that you think you're missing, whether it be from childhood, from your divorce, from kids calling you names when you were a kid, whatever. Doesn't matter. We all had shit. Everybody had shit. We all tried to figure it out. And the fact that you're struggling with yours is nothing to be ashamed of. That's just where you are right now. Moving through it though, finding your path through the crap, you know, and starting to build your life back brick by brick and having the energy to pick up that first brick and accept what's actually happening to you. Find gratitude for the things that you have left. Forgiving the people who harmed you or that you have anger toward. These are difficult. I mean, I can rattle them off like that, like it's nothing, but each one of these steps is extremely transformative and it's extremely difficult. I know some people say, oh, I did that all at once. Like one day I woke up and just, it was fine. Everything's fine. And I don't know about that. I think maybe, but maybe you're just lying to yourself because you don't want to deal with it. Anyway, getting back to our original question, how many women does it take to ruin a man's life? Well, just like the owl, you know, the real answer is as many as you want. You know, the owl could have licked that Tootsie Pop 3 times, 5 times, 100 times, 1,000 times. And if you're a kid like me back then, you tried it. You licked that damn lollipop as many times as you could. And eventually you got to a place where you just bit it because it was just taking too damn long. You know, it's like everyone crunches through that thing eventually. And I think the owl's answer was right on the money. Because the truth is, it doesn't matter how many licks it takes. It takes as many licks as you're going to give it. And so how many women does it take to ruin your life? As many as it takes. And when I say ruin your life, I mean get to that place where you come to terms with the fact that you're using her in the same way that some people use alcohol or drugs. That you're using this woman to fill some hole in your heart, in your soul, whatever, to compensate for something that you believe is missing. And it's really not missing. It's just the fact that you believe it that makes it true. The only thing that's missing is your desire and understanding that you are 100% complete on your own. And all you need to do is to apply yourself and start building your life one brick at a time until you create that vision that motivates you to get up every morning and lay more and more bricks. And then the work becomes easy and the energy behind it comes, you know, very quickly. And at the end of the day, after you've been laying bricks all day, you feel tired and exhausted, but you feel good. You feel like you've accomplished something. And that is what your life is supposed to be about. Not about satisfying some woman or pretending to fall in love with a woman or going along with a woman so that you can fit into society and act like you're an adult and, you know, go along with this whole life 1.0 algorithm about the way things are supposed to be. Because there is no supposed to be. It's just however you believe it should be. You've got a lot of control here. The way you apply your thoughts and your beliefs and your ideas is going to change the experiences that you have. And if you have that desire to build a life for yourself, free and clear of extraneous influences, drugs, alcohol, people, gambling, whatever, you can do it. You can absolutely do it. It's not necessary, but you absolutely can. I strongly suggest, especially if you're going through a difficult time, a breakup, your divorce, whatever, and you're in that pit of despair and you're trying to figure yourself out, you know, start thinking about how you can start building your life back. What do you really, really want for yourself? Because it's out there. All right, you guys, that's all I got for you today. I certainly hope you've enjoyed this video. If you have, please like and subscribe. If you know someone who's struggling in their life right now because of a relationship that went sideways, please share this with them. Anyway, till next time, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.